If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the absolute all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is this: our collective quantum leap in consciousness is underway. Our collective quantum leap in consciousness is underway. So I'd like to begin with a visualization for you this evening. And if you want to, you could do this perhaps daily. It's a very, very good way to bring yourself into an alignment and attunement with what is occurring at this time on the planet. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And call yourself forward in your spiritual essence and ride the energy down all the way through your body into your feet. And just expand it out so that you're an orb of divine light. And that's your spiritual consciousness in which you live and move and have your being. But now for your physical enchilada, that body here in time-space, let's do this visualization. Imagine that you're standing barefoot in the green grass. Feel that grass under your feet. Feel the energy of the earth coming up through your feet. Experience yourself being firmly planted, grounded on the earth. Now center yourself in your heart with a breath, with your intention, and send a beam of pink love light from your heart into the very heart of Mother Earth. That's it. Now pause. And you'll feel a response. Just be very still. And feel that response. And now attune to Father Sky, the very heart of Father Sky, which would be the sun. And again, from your heart, with a breath and intention, send a beam of golden love from your heart into the very heart of the great central sun. Deep breath. Now see the pink ray from the earth and the golden ray from the Father joining as one in your heart. Conjoin like the yin and the yang, but also as the Father Mother that have birthed you as the Christ child. You are the Christ, their progeny, their beloved. And just, if you will, maintain that sense of connection between the Mother Earth and the Father Sky, the Sun, the Great Central Sun, which is the giver of life to everything on Earth and in our solar system. Without the Sun, nothing would grow. There would be no electricity. There would be no energy. There would be no life force. So that's why in ancient times, many, many cultures worshiped the sun as a representation of God and as a giver of life. That is why. So tonight, the Ashtar Command has suggested that I give our Earth team of light workers a heads up. It seems the time is now upon us, the Earth and Earth's humanity, to take that quantum leap into a higher state of consciousness. Oh, it's been in process, let's say, for quite a while. According to the Mayans, a window opened up in 2007, which ends the end of this year, during which time we are to make a quantum leap in consciousness, but one that will land us in an entirely different experiential realm of existence. I understand, completely unlike the world we're living in today. It would have to be something like that, because Sai Baba has said that by the time Prema Sai Baba advents, which could be 2018, according to what he said in 1978, when he said that time would be 40 years in the future, well, that's 2018. And Prema Sai Baba will advent into a world that is already established in the Golden Age, in which there's only divine love and peace, with no vestige whatsoever of evil or crime or warfare. What in the world could arrest our mad dash to self-destruction but something completely supernatural, divinely orchestrated, and nothing we can control or do anything about at all. And nobody knows about it but the Father. The Father, Mother, God, the Creator, embodied in the form of Satya Sai Baba as avatar, as much as that can be grounded at this time on the earth without imploding us into light. So this has been divinely planned, and it is 100% going to happen, and 100% successful. Not one soul will be lost, for God the Creator deeply loves all of creation. Moreover, all of creation is an expression of that one divine source. And every soul is simply an extension, if you will, a hologram of that one appearing as the many. That's you and me and everyone. We're all incarnations of that one spirit. So this irrevocable shift in dimension will occur very likely without any more pre-warning other than the numerous unusual signs and events that have already been advancing with increasing rapidity all over the world. The last, 3-4 years in particular, you just see an increase in what could be likened to birth pangs, as the Earth is gradually preparing for that final crowning and push that will birth us into this next state. We started this series of seminars on BBS Radio in the June-July period of 2007, around the time of the Christ full moon, which is also called the Festival of Humanity. And the Ashtar Command primarily wanted me to prepare our listeners and ground crew of co-workers for this tremendous transformation in consciousness. That was the purpose, because the change is in consciousness. That's where you do your preparation. That's the strategy that you yourself can implement to the best of your ability with what you've got to work with in raising your consciousness, raising your vibration, illumining your mind, quieting the emotions, stilling the inner tumult. But aside from that, it's God's, totally in God's hands. So why are there so many versions of what's going to happen? Well, one can only see, interpret, and understand things from the lens of one state of consciousness. Now, the average person is totally identified with his or her physical body. That's their reality, what they can see, touch, eat, drink, interact with. And most people in the mass consciousness operate out of the three lower chakras: the root chakra of security, the solar plexus chakra of sensation, the second chakra of sensation, that would be the sexual chakra, and the solar plexus, which is the chakra of power. Security, sensation, power. In other words, security. How can I survive and be safe and secure? Make more money. Have more stuff. Sensation. Who can I have as a partner who will fulfill my needs and desires? And take care of me, my body, give me security, you know. And then there's power. What can I do to increase my power, my control and influence to keep secure, have all I desire, you know the drill, etc., etc., etc. Never ends. And life for most people revolves around these three chakras of security, sensation, and power. Practically no one thinks. Most people are astrally polarized in the feeling and imagination. So how can any truth arise in such a state? What happens when you're in that state? Well, largely you tap into the realm that's closest to the earth, which is full of spirits, not much brighter than the average person. This is where people go when they are disincarnate, out of incarnation, and are in existence very much like earth, just a little bit larger. And a little more phenomenal in that you can think something and it appears immediately. But that's the realm that people usually tap into when they channel. Channels almost invariably tap into the astral realm, sometimes a higher level, so that you get something inspiring and sometimes useful, but it's still coming out of the plane of emotions and imagination. No genuine master operates as a channel or a channeler to someone in the physical plane. But what you contact are actually the thought forms of masters that well-meaning light workers project as being someone they can contact. But the truth is, a real master is a great executive of global and intergalactic affairs and has a lot more work to do than to channel to a group of would-be light workers. The message is always one of expanding conscious awareness so that you are consciously integrated and aware all the time. All masters teach the same thing. Generally, masters only work with a disciple at the level of the fourth degree of initiation, which is just prior to full adeptship, becoming a master themselves. So what you have are disciples of the masters that work with people. And sometimes they will come forward and you'll think, oh, that's my high self giving the information. But generally, it's one of the disciples of one of the masters that has you in tow, that is suggesting into a receptive mind information. But then when that is taken to be the authoritative truth, the absolute truth, that's where your distortions enter in, because it's the astral plane, which is very volatile and constantly changing. And it is born of imagination and fueled by imagination. So bear in mind that we need to be self-actualized, self-realized, and self-accountable so that you learn to tune into your own chalice of understanding, your own chalice of wisdom, that you have been depositing the wealth of your experience and your inner expansion of awareness in life after life, until a person of genuine wisdom is just full of the experiential revelations that have directly occurred to that consciousness. You get in touch with that level through meditation, through inner stillness, and working with a really good teacher and lineage that has experience in working with a person to bring them through the various stages you go through as the ego is gradually dismantled as a guiding force in one's life. So this volatility of tapping into an emotional and imaginative realm for information accounts really for the bulk of just about everything that one sees on TV, in movies, reads in pulp fiction, mundane books, and it governs everything we've been taught in school and watch on the news. And it's all related to security, sensation, power, and all the games people are playing involving these three areas. But they all have one thing in common. They are all ego states, and they're all driven by fear. And that's why doom and gloom prophecies abound on the YouTube, and in films, and on TV. And, you know, when you boil it all down, the major fear and fascination always involves death, because the ego is both consumed with fascination, but also fear and dread of its own ending. And that's why I think otherwise seemingly sane individuals seem to relish watching other people kill, rob, and destroy other people. I don't get it. I don't know why anybody would want to fill their mind with that drivel. But look at what's offered on television. Obviously, people are watching it, or they wouldn't keep putting it out there. So if you receive most of your information from those who are themselves totally unawakened and operating only from a fear-based ego mind, you're only fostering your own lack of awareness, your own unconsciousness. Now, it's up to you what you're watching, what you read, listen to, what you choose to buy into is your reality. But you might want to reconsider the reality that you're coming into agreement with and select one that at least offers you a greater sense of peace, happiness, and well-being. You know, there's a statement in A Course in Miracles where Jesus tells us very bluntly that we must learn to look upon scenes of devastation and know that is not real. Well, that will certainly give us a thorough workout every day if we watch the news and listen to almost anybody speak. But there are fully enlightened, God-realized people scattered all over the earth. Some have written books. Others will be drawn into your life when you want to really understand what real life is all about. Reality bears no resemblance whatsoever to anything that the body's eyes see and the ego mind worries about. The ego mind seems to have a innate calling to just keep you constantly on the edge of anxiety, angst, fear, worry, concern. And yet, many of you send me questions or send me links to YouTube of various prophecies. And one caught my attention. Actually, it's for this month of May. I like it when one doesn't have to wait very long to see if it's accurate or not. And this prophecy has to do with the planetary alignment for May, alluded to in a quatrain by Nostradamus. Well, that planetary alignment occurs on the 29th of this month. May 29th. And I think it's supposed to come directly into alignment by 4 p.m. Pacific time. And of course, it could be any May, and I'm sure this alignment has happened at other times. So again, it's just one more of these litanies of fear that the ego never tires of suggesting. And this constant dredging up of things to be concerned about and worried about and dates assures that you'll be kept in such a state of anticipatory dread and fascination with impending doom that you'll remain asleep in this nightmarish illusion that we've taken to be real life. So I know you send me those things because you think I should know. I'm Commander Lady Athena, right? The one that's been given the job of speaking as the voice of the Ashtar Command. Believe me, I would never in a million years call myself the voice of the Ashtar Command. I thought they were kidding when they told me to call the seminars that. Cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. Well, that's cute and funny. I could buy into that. But the voice? I hardly ever mention the Ashtar Command. Why? Because I don't want to create another cult of wishful thinking around Ashtar and the Ashtar Command. There's enough of that out there. There's enough astral channels that keep you focused into implants, the Dracos, the big-eyed guys, what do you call them, Greys, the reptilians, all that stuff. There's enough of that out there, and all of it, without exception, comes from the astral plane. Not a bit of it's real, but you make it real as you've made your life around your physical body, by buying into that. I knew a couple one time, and it was it was sad and funny at the same time, but they would spend hours picking implants out of each other or anybody else that was around. One night we were staying overnight in the same house, and I sat with them for a while and watched them, you know, pulling out swords and daggers and implants and oh God knows what all from all kinds of planetary systems and this and that. They had all this elaborate story going on, and finally I yawned and I said, I'm going to bed. And they said, wait a minute, we've noticed you don't seem to be, you know, worried about this. Why? And I said, well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, not implants. And I didn't know what else to say. I said, I'm sleepy, I'm going to bed. Night. And so far as I know, they spent most of the night pulling out imaginary implants. Do you know what? If you look for trouble, you'll find it, because trouble's looking for you. Because all troubles are ego-generated, and the main agenda of the ego is to keep you troubled so you never realize the bliss of God that you truly are. So there will always be another evildoer. There'll always be another galactic battle. There'll always be another whatever. You know, put your name to your favorite battle, whatever. And it's all a bunch of baloney. That I can tell you with absolute confidence that I'm right on it. Why? Because I'm a conscious soul traveler, and I go through those realms, and part of my assignment has been to follow certain trains of consciousness to see where they lead. And I can tell you for a fact that those, all of those scenarios of galactic evildoers and battles and I can't even think of languaging for it because it's completely out of my train of consciousness. All of those fearful scenarios are coming up out of the subconscious of people that perhaps have created those scenarios in the astral realms through their imagination. So therefore, now they have the karma of having to go into those levels and deal with them. But instead of rehearsing these same stories over and over, I was looking at some of the channeling from today. And, 30, 40 years, well, maybe not 40 years ago, because there was some good information coming forward then. But recent information, it's all about disclosure. It's all about who's a reptilian and who's not. It's all about the landing of good aliens and bad aliens, all of that stuff. It's all polarity. It's all fostering a sense of collective paranoia and doing a great disservice to humanity because now they're more afraid than ever to have contact with brothers and sisters from other worlds that are real, that are divine, and every bit as splendid as any angel you could imagine. In fact, most of the angels people talk about aren't angels at all. They're more advanced ultra-terrestrial beings, great lords and ladies of light, like Ashtar, for example. And some of the things that are ascribed to Ashtar just make me shudder. He would never in a million years tell you that you were 10 feet from a pit of hell. That is so far from his consciousness. I can't even imagine anything more distant from that great consciousness and that kind of a point of view. So do be discerning. Listen to your own wise counsel. The Spirit of the Living God lives inside you, in your mind, in your heart, in this tabernacle of your physical form, as the very Spirit of Truth. Tune into that. And leave the astral speculators to their own karma. It's an unfortunate karma. So we send them the light that they could awaken and get through it quickly. But nevertheless, you create the state in which you live. And I can't say that often enough. Only come into agreement with what you would have to be real. If you want to find implants and reptilians and whatever, you're going to find them. Because you will imagine them, and they will appear into your reality. And if you're foolish, you will take them to be real and make a big storyline out of them, and how you're victimized by them, and you've fallen right into the ego's plan. Do you get it? Do you understand? So, something marvelous has happened that changes everything. And although it's shrouded with mystery that only he alone knows, because Sai Baba came on the planet, everything changed. Why? Because he is a cosmic level avatar. Some have called him the cosmic Christ avatar. But then that's going to upset people who are then going to think that we're trying to promote Christianity, which we're not. So let's just call him the cosmic avatar. We haven't had one of those, a full cosmic avatar that was available to the masses ever on this planet. During previous cosmic avatars, like Krishna and Rama and Shirdi Baba, only a tiny handful of people were around those avatars, and practically no one knew who they were in their own lifetime. But Satya Sai Baba has not only many, many enlightened devotees who recognized him and who are with him and who have attained God realization in his presence and under his tutorage, or whether or not in his physical presence, under his influence because of their good karma, and it was just simply time for them to ripen on the tree of life. But his advent has changed the prophesied outcome considerably, in that he has completely eliminated an all-out thermonuclear World War III, which so many prophesied. But I have heard him physically and read his teaching in several places, and heard other devotees who have asked him also. And he has said there will not be a Third World War. There will not be a Third World War. There will not be a global destructive Holocaust. He said there is no event that's coming on the planet that's going to destroy everything. There will be changes and things happen all over, but nothing that's going to wipe us out to where we're going to be post-human, as one of those TV series was promoting that joyless idea. Not going to happen. Instead, sometime between now and 2018, something is going to happen any moment that will totally transform our world and our consciousness so that we will be in a world of pure love. Obviously, this is being divinely orchestrated. As given our way, we would just keep repeating history of war after war after war. It never changes, just the faces and the names. But probably the same souls keep coming back doing the same nonsense. And that's why mankind's evocative cry, along with the earth, and the devotion of those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, cause the appearing into our dimension of the avatar Sai Baba. And so, if I'm correct, because I received this only this evening before coming on the air, there is not going to be a physical polar shift. That has always been foreseen as the major catalyst for the shift in consciousness. And I had always assumed we would have one too, based again on many of the prophets and prophecies. But when I asked him tonight, he said no. No polar shift. Well, we're having a magnetic shift. I don't actually know what that is, but it's significant enough that they've had to change the whatever you call them that guides the airplanes in on the tarmac from the control tower. They've had to change a lot of things because of the magnetic shift. Now, science has seen that each of the celestial bodies in our solar system seems to be undergoing a reversal of the poles in waves, each occurring as their time comes up. It hasn't been our turn yet, but our sun has apparently gone through a polar reversal. But did you see on YouTube that winged, angelic-looking UFO right there in the earth excuse me, the sun, in the sun, next to the sun, and also those large circular UFOs, something, titanium, metallic something. Well, I was told that that's the fleet of Commander Soltek, who is the solar astrophysicist of the Ashtar Command. And I'll just let it go at that. But just think, that was right within the sun's orbit. Large, white, winged UFO. You can see it on YouTube right now. Supposedly from the SOHO observing apparatus. I don't pay much attention to those things. I don't even know the language to describe them. Mine has been to work with consciousness, to work with the grids of consciousness so that we can shift from the third dimension through the fourth and into the fifth. And that's where I keep my focus. So I'm just saying that they can see that the light field around all of the planets in our solar system has increased tremendously, and that there's been a reversal of the poles of these planets. Granted, all of the life on other planets is either on the interior and or the other dimensional plane surrounding that planet. Only Earth and a couple of the moons of Jupiter actually have physical human life on the surface. And with all the storms we have, you can see what a good idea it is to live in the interior. I'm sure that's why they have chosen to live in the interior. So anyway, that's what I was, excuse me, I was guided to share with you about there being no polar shift. This is new information to me. So I'm just sharing it. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. But I'm going to go with what I was told. So to me, that also means no major impact from an asteroid, because that has always been supposedly what would finally trigger a polar flip. And that also is very prominent. If you look on the YouTubes and in prophecy, they're always foreseeing an asteroid strike. Well, I have to tell you, if the Ashtar Command hadn't been looking out for this planet for the last several hundred years, you would have had a lot of asteroid strikes. It's only been because of the work of the Ashtar Galactic Command that you haven't had a direct impact, because there's practically no place on the planet that you could have one that wouldn't be absolutely disruptive and devastating to the whole planet. So that has been a major fear and concern for scientists and others for some time now. The asteroid, and they're always trying to as best they can, figure out what's going to happen so they can warn us, although they don't seem to warn us when there does seem to be something that's potentially dangerous. I think for good reason, because what could we do about it? What could they do about it? And who wants to live in constant fear? I mean, even the ego has a point where it's like, no, I don't want to go there. Too scary. So what I do believe is that Sai Baba has changed our prophetic scenario from apocalyptic to amazing grace. Anyway, I'm going to let you chew on that for a while. So what I didn't realize until giving it some thought tonight was that when we started these seminars in 2007, that's when that window opened up, according to the Mayans, for the shift of ages to occur sometime between 2007 and 2015. They told my good friend Drunvalo Melchizedek that they had not spoken for 500 years, that all the information about doomsday supposedly going to occur on December 21st, 2012, that came from people who were non-Mayan, that they had never given that information out at all. And so for the first time they spoke, they began to speak around 2007, 2008. And they shared a lot with Drunvalo, whom they found to be totally trustworthy. And I do too. I love Drunvalo. He's a great, great man of heart and wisdom and humility. Anyway, they said that this transformation will occur sometime in that window known only to Mother Earth. And like any female, she does what she does when she does it. And nobody can tell her when to do it. But they said by January 2016 it will occur. Now, if Prema Sai Baba, according to Sai Baba, what he said in 1978, 40 years later he would come, that would be 2018. My gosh, there's something that's going to have to happen to change the world between now and then. Something that will get our attention. So, we're coming to the end of 2015. We've got, what, 5 months? There's been such an increase in earthquakes and tornadic activity and volcanoes. Gosh, when you look at a global graph of the volcanoes, the whole Ring of Fire looks like it's ignited. I was looking yesterday at yesterday's graph. Good heavens, looks like it's lit up. And the intensity and unpredictability of the storms and the unprecedented sightings of extraterrestrial craft throughout the world has only been increasing and increasing, and rightly so, because we're not alone. The Great Galactic Command has been part of the education and protecting and guardian action of this planet since its very insemination with human life 18.5 million years ago, when the Lords of the Flame from Venus came and made of the bipedal hominids on planet Earth a thinking, conscious entity. They became Homo sapien 18.5 million years ago. So ever since then, there has been the fleets, if you will, of Adonai, the fleets of the Lord, that have been supervising and guarding and guiding infant humanity as it matriculated. And now it's getting ready to progress beyond human. We're not post-human. We're going beyond human to something so glorious that Baba said we can't even imagine in our wildest. The Bible says, man, the mind of man cannot even conceive of the glory, of the joy that God has prepared for those who love him. But you know what? Deep down inside, we all love God. We all love God, so that's for you and me and everyone. We're all going to be lifted out of this illusion nightmare. And you don't get punished for having a bad dream, for buying into an illusion as reality. You only are awakened from it, to find that in highest truth you've never left home. In highest truth you've never left the heart of God. But for this cycle that we're in this dream spell, we're coming to the end of a 13,000-year cycle. which ended the last time with a fall from Atlantis, and we're, or the fall in Atlantis, and we're going to, we're coming to the end of the 26,000 year cycle, both a major and a minor cycle are ending now. And according to the indigenous elders, the Kogi and the Mayan and others, the fifth world is the perfect world. It is the world of the culmination, which I didn't actually realize. It's the culmination point for this cycle, according to them. I'm not going to try to interpret that because I've never heard that from anyone but them. I always thought we had a chain of at least seven worlds that we were moving through, but not according to them. But the Kogi, for example, were part of the Nakal Brotherhood, which was the center community, the very heart of Atlantis. There were three, let's say, rings of light. There were the regular people on the outer ring. There were the Maya, who were the priests and interpreters between the masses of people and the Nakals. And then you had the Nakals as the very heartbeat of Atlantis. And they could levitate, and they glowed in the dark. And you know what? According to Drunvalo, they can levitate, and they still glow in the dark. And so they are, oh, I would say exemplars of that highest state of consciousness that never went to sleep. But they have never, ever publicly spoken to the outer world until Trinvalo came and was permitted to interact with them. So that's pretty spectacular. And they consider those of us living on the surface of Earth as their little brothers. Their little brothers. So we have some mighty, mighty souls that are part of this great transformation that are safeguarding it. There's nothing to worry about. If you look at everything you're worried about, you'll find out it has something to do because you've identified the body as yourself and your physical life as your reality. Out of body consciousness, you don't have anything to worry about. You certainly don't have to worry about the shift. The Maya, many of them have memory that goes all the way back to one or two of the shifts that occurred at the 13,000-year point. Many of them remember 13,000 years ago when the final inundation of Atlantis took place 13,000 years ago, and then there was another portion that submerged 10,000 years ago. But that's the what's been recorded as the flood mythology in almost every world culture. And of course written about in the Judeo-Christian Bible. So yeah, we are in an unusual place when anything is likely to happen. Anything. I think that's why there is such an emphasis today, as there has always been in the wisdom teachings, of detachment. Detachment from things that you have invested so much importance to, which by its very nature is ephemeral. It's passing through your life, everything, but who and what you are, which is eternal, Sat Chit Ananda. You are eternal existence, the truth of eternal existence. Omnipresent awareness and Paramananda, pure bliss. And that is unchanging. Everything else comes and goes. But just like Yogananda said, everything in my life can wait, but my realization of God. That is the most important thing. Don't let a day go by that you've lost awareness of your reality. Know that you're birthless, deathless. The other day, Sai Baba said, death is like a pinprick that pops the bubble floating on the surface of the ocean. The ocean being the all that is. The bubble, that little personal sense of separate self, that little body that says, I'm real, I'm real. I confine you. And Baba says, death is like a pinprick that pops that bubble. And then you simply have always been what you've always been. No birth, no death. No reason and season for love. You simply are love. It doesn't come, it doesn't go, it simply is. We were in an interview with Sai Baba. Sai Baba asked what day it was. He knew, of course, he wanted to bring forward the answer. And the young man said, oh, it's Christmas, it's the birthday of Christ. And Sai Baba said, our Christ is neither born nor dies. Christ is eternal love. And we just kind of sat there. I mean, what do you say? That was kind of our introductory howdy-do with Sai Baba, our first interview. But, wow, we are in a marvelous time. Don't waste your time digging a hole in the ground and stockpiling food. Gosh, that series of crazy programs on television about all these people that were stocking up food for 2012, doomsday. All the stocked up beans and dried foods and ammunition that you pile around yourself in your hole in the ground isn't going to do doodly squat because the change is in consciousness. It's going to change everything. You won't have to worry about your money. There's not going to be money or a need for it where we're going. You don't have to worry about your body. You're going from a Model T Ford into a Rolls Royce or whatever the most expensive car is, Lamborghini, whatever. That is the shift that you're going into. The body will be completely different. The mind, the consciousness, the reality, beyond what we can imagine now. Now we can't really talk about it at all. But we need to really let go and let God, because you can't control this. This is God's doing. This is the day of our Lord. Not a terrible, wrathful day. It is the day of genuine revelation, when the glory of God is revealed, and truly the morning stars all sing together. And we awaken as if from a long sleep. So I hope this is encouraging to you. It is to me. It is to me. And it's why I think that all enlightened, really enlightened masters, they never talk about earth changes and stuff like that. The Mayans do, for the simple reason that they've been given the task of being the caretakers of the planet. And their rituals and their ceremonies have been keeping the balance for all of these generations. And that's their dharma. But if you move about with the great enlightened sages, and so many that I've been so privileged to sit with and know, And also John Roger, they don't talk about this. John Morton, they don't talk about these things. J.R. used to allude to it back in the early 70s, but then he stopped talking about it. He talks to me, or used to talk to me a lot about the Ashtar Command, but not about earth changes and dire things coming up. But what he's always said is that not one single soul will be lost. God loves all of its creation. And that's really the reality that I live in. Not just as a theory, but because I have experienced it. And I live in it. And it's more real to me than anything in this world. And the more you live in that higher state of awareness, the more the world kind of, you don't notice it much. It's predictable. It's always going to be doing what it's doing. But you just don't let it engage very much of your attention. That may sound like I'm contradicting myself when I say we need to be present here and now. You can't be present here and now when you live in the world, because the world is a conjuration of the mind. To be present here and now, you have to be conscious, integrated awareness. You have to be in the world, but not of it. We need to be here because this is the field of our service. This is the vineyard that we're tending for the Father, who's the owner of the vineyard. But that's it. That's it. We don't have to invest a lot of mentation and emotionality into that, which is by its very nature an illusion. That has had no effect whatsoever on the pure divine being that you and I are. That has not been affected at all by anything that you've ever dreamt or imagined, you've said, thought, and done on this planet. If you move into that awareness, which you can if you want to, you will go very still inside yourself. The background anxiousness will fade. The din of the world will just no longer meet your ears. But you will live in the awareness that God is in everything you see. That all sounds are but echoes of the voice for God. You'll learn to look on devastation and simply remind yourself, this is not real. God did not create warfare and destruction and evil. Therefore, it is not real. And suddenly the Course of Miracles and everything Jesus is trying to teach us will come alive inside you. And you'll find that all of a sudden you've made that consciousness shift. And then when we step into these glorious realms, it will be very, very simple for you. And that's what I would wish for us all. This is a time of supernatural divine grace. Let us receive of it and indeed rejoice. So let's go out chanting on IU. Deep breath. On IU. Ah, no. Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu. May all the worlds be happy. Namaste.